Years ago, Taylor University was pleased to learn that an international student named Samuel Morris was going to be enrolled in that school. This is before it was commonplace for international students to come to the United States to study. Sam was a bright young lad with a very promising future, and the school was very excited to have him join them. The president of the university, as the story goes, took Sam on a grand tour of campus, showing him all the dorms and the classrooms and all the possible living arrangements. And so when the tour was over, the president asked Sam where he would like to live. And here's how the story goes. The young man replied, "If there's a room that no one wants, give that room to me." The president had to turn away with tears in his eyes. Over the years, he had welcomed literally thousands of students to the campus. None of them had ever made such a humble request. You see, Samuel Morris wasn't just any international student. He was actually a prince in his home region. This royal young man certainly didn't have to request such humble lodgings, but he did so because he was exhibiting a character trait that we're going to focus in on tonight. Good evening, and please, if you haven't done so already, please open your Bibles to Matthew 5. We'll be looking at verse 5 tonight, Matthew 5, verse 5, in the Beatitudes. Every month now for this year, we've been examining a new verse in Matthew 5. And if you recall, in this section of Scripture, Jesus gives us a concise, relatively... And he does so, amazingly enough, in only 10 verses. To date, we've seen that this message from the Beatitudes is for us. It's credible. It's simple. And it offers something that everyone, and I'm going to say again, every one of us is looking for, and that's happiness. Jesus uses the word blessed or blessed 9 times in this section of Scripture, and for good reason. God wants his people to be happy. Psalm 144:15 says, "Happy is the people whose God is the Lord." My friends, God wants his people to be filled with joy. He wants to bless us, and he wants us to be blessed with an experience, a type of happiness that's deep and unique. He wants us to have a type of happiness that is inside of us, that is not produced or affected by emotion or by changing circumstances. He wants to bless us with that kind of happiness. So today we've studied in detail that God blesses those who are poor in spirit and those who mourn over their sin. And this week we'll consider what Jesus meant when he told us in Matthew 5:5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, before we get into the body of this message tonight, let's talk about the promised reward that is promised to the meek. Jesus says in verse 5 that the meek are happy because they'll receive something. They will inherit the earth. Now, what does that mean anyway? Think about who Jesus was talking to. Think about his audience in the first century. Jesus was preaching to a world that, by and large, didn't understand meekness. This was a world back then, much as it is today, this was a world that understood power. This was a world ruled by Caesars and kings who would use armies to make people subject through means of sheer force. People understood that back then. The world of the first century seemingly belonged to the physically rich and the physically powerful, certainly not the meek and the lowly. So Jesus was preaching a countercultural message and promising that the future would belong to the meek. Your version might say to the gentle or to the humble. See, in the spiritual kingdom of God, it's the meek and the lowly who will be the ones to inherit the land. Jesus was telling them and us, we can be happy in this life. We can be blessed in this life because in the next life, the heavenly life will be rewarded with our heavenly inheritance. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I don't know about you, but without even knowing what it means to be meek, I'm looking forward to being blessed with a heavenly inheritance. That's enough in and of itself to make me happy. So, who are the people that will receive this reward? Who are those who are meek? And really, what does it mean to be meek? What does that mean? I suppose if you were to look up the word meek in a dictionary and look up the definition of meekness, Merriam-Webster would tell you it means enduring injury with patience and without resentment. And technically speaking, that's true. Yet, we know some things. We know that the world often associates meekness with what? Weakness and spinelessness and cowardice. As in, if you're meek, you endure injury because you're just too weak to defend or stand up for yourself. In other words, meek rhymes with weak. Now think about that definition of meekness and see if it applies to what Jesus is saying. This definition of meekness would have Jesus saying, blessed are the spineless, for they shall inherit the earth. That doesn't really sound right, does it? Can you imagine a motivational speaker getting up on stage today and telling the crowd, what you really need to succeed in this life is meekness. Yet, technically and biblically, he would be correct. You see, in the Bible, meekness means strength under control. The Greeks use this word meekness or meek to describe a wild animal that had been tamed. Think about a horse. A big, strong horse. A meek horse is not a weak horse, but rather a very powerful beast brought under its master's control. Think about the Queen's Guard in England. You know, the soldiers with the funny hats? Think about those people. These are the soldiers charged with guarding the royal official residences in the United Kingdom. Now, sometimes tourists have fun with them, trying to get them to move or to respond, and yet these soldiers remain famously stoic. But don't let those bushy hats fool you. These are highly trained, fully capable soldiers tasked with guarding British royalty. In other words, these are people who exhibit strength under control. They're meek. Spiritually speaking, a meek person is one who endures injury and endures insult with humility and with gentleness because they're strong in the Lord. What does that mean? Turn with me to the Old Testament, to the scripture reading that Zach just read. He did a great job. Turn with me to Psalm 37. And we'll look at verses 1 through 11. But for now, look at verse 11 specifically. Because in the Beatitudes section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus seems to be referring to, in verse 5, he seems to be referring to Psalm 37, verse 11. In that verse, David tells God's children that the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Doesn't that sound an awful lot like what Jesus just said? So here in this text, look with me at verses 11, and now look at verse 9 with me, because there's an important parallel here that we should all see. Verse 11 says, the meek shall inherit the land. And then look at the beginning of verse 9. The beginning of verse 9 says, those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. One of the best ways to interpret biblical words and understand biblical concepts is to let the Bible speak for itself. And at any time that we can, let the Bible define itself. With that in mind, I would conclude that the meek are people who wait for the Lord. Now, what does it mean to be someone who waits for the Lord? What are these people like? Let's examine a few of the verses that lead up to verse 11. Look at verses 3 through 4 with me. Verses 3 through 4, Psalm 37, 3 through 4. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So my friends, meek people begin by trusting God. They believe some things. They believe that God will work for them, and they believe that God will even vindicate them when others unrighteously oppose them. That, of course, is in contrast to trusting in themselves. Sometimes people will leave God completely out of the picture and assume, well, I'm it. I mean, that's all there is. And if I don't stick up for myself, who will? And people will act accordingly. Meekness isn't like that. Biblical meekness is rooted in the deep confidence that God is for us and he's just not against us. So the meek trust in the Lord. Look at verses 5 through 6 with me, because they also commit their way to the Lord. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him. He will act. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Here, the Hebrew word for commit is actually a very colorful one. It's a very interesting one. It literally means to roll, as in rolling a large boulder down a hill. Or water rolling down from the top of a waterfall. I mean, the idea being once a large boulder starts rolling down the hill, there's no stopping it. Think about being on a roller coaster. Once that cart makes it to the top of that track and down the other side, if you're in that cart, my friends, you're committed. You're rolling, and there's no stopping until that ride is done. I remember several years ago, back in Oregon, Carrie and I decided to take a trip up to the mountains. We decided to take our family to a place called Elk Lake. And we had heard about Elk Lake from some friends that it was such a beautiful place to visit. We thought that would be nice. We thought we could stay the day up there, and that would be a wonderful time. Here's the thing about Elk Lake. It's on the top of a mountain. And to get there, you have to take a mountain road up to that lake. Now, the first 3 miles are a nice road. Nice and paved, relatively easy. The next 2 miles were steep and badly washboarded and rocky and rugged. And the final mile, while being flat, that final mile, it was full of big, sharp rocks and nasty potholes the size of VW bugs. I exaggerate not. It was so narrow that there was no place to pull off or attempt to turn around. So after the third obstacle like that, Carrie looks over me and says, let's go back. This can't be right. I just smiled and said to my wife, honey, we can't go back now. We're committed. We eventually arrived at that lake and we enjoyed the day. Spiritually speaking, meek people have discovered that God is trustworthy, and so they roll their way to him. They commit their lives to him. They commit their business, their problems, their relationships, their health, their fear, their frustrations. They roll all of this towards the Lord. They commit their way, they commit their lives to him. Now, the meek also live quietly before God, knowing that he will vindicate them. Look at verses 7 and 8 with me. Verse 7 says, "Be still before the Lord." Some of your versions read, "Be quiet," or "live quietly before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices." And then verse 8 says, "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It only tends to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land." There are really two key components to living quietly before the Lord: at not fretting over evil and refraining from anger. Now think about the context of what we've read so far, and maybe you can look ahead to verse 11. Think about the context of Psalm 37, 1 through 11. Here, the meek in this chapter, in this text, have reason to be upset. They have legitimate reason to be upset. Why do I say that? Look at verse 1, and look at verse 7, and look at verse 9, and look at verse 10. Those verses refer to evil and evildoers and the things that they've done to righteous people. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 alludes to justice that will come to the righteous. And so in context, we're talking about people who have a reason to be upset. And yet, even though wrong, what does God tell his people to do? Those who are meek. God tells his people to refrain from anger, forsake wrath. Why is that? Is God telling his people to be cowardly and spineless? No, on the contrary, God tells his people to wait patiently for him, because he will vindicate his people. God will punish the wicked. And those who wait for the Lord will be blessed. In the New Testament, Romans 12 tells us the same thing. In the New Testament, Romans 12, 14 tells us, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them." Why is that? Verse 19 says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it. Leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Here's the point. Although sometimes anger is appropriate and righteous, Jesus certainly demonstrated that. As God's people, we need to think very carefully about what we do with retaliatory anger. Over and over again, God tells us to refrain from it, because he's the one who will bring justice and vindicate his people. So meek people are characterized by living quiet lives and refraining from retaliatory anger. So what's meekness? Meekness is powerful self-control, which manifests itself in a gentle spirit based on an unshakable confidence in God himself. Who are the meek? The meek are people who wait upon the Lord, trusting him, committing their way to him, waiting patiently for him, and refraining from bitterness and retaliatory anger, knowing that he will ultimately vindicate them. That's why meek people are happy. Do you know that only two individuals in Scripture are actually named as meek? The first one is in the Old Testament. That's Moses. I think about Numbers 12. verses 1 through 4. Numbers 12, 1 through 4 tells us Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married. For he had married a Cushite woman, and they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man, Moses, was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam, "Come out here, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. And we know what happens next. We know what happens in the following verses. In the following verses, the Lord rebukes Miriam and Aaron, and he vindicates his servant Moses. Now think about this. Just where we would expect the text to tell us what Moses said to justify himself against the charge of Miriam and Aaron, the text says he was the meekest man on the earth. Moses doesn't say a word. He doesn't retaliate. Instead, he waits patiently for the Lord. He frets not over these critical words, and God himself comes to his defense. My friends, there are times when the best course of action that we can take is to let our character and our life and our hope in God speak for us, rather than defend ourselves to those who are unwilling to listen. God had appointed Moses for this ministry. Moses knew it, so he waited upon God for his defense. The second person in Scripture is Jesus, who called himself meek in Matthew 11, 28 through 29. If you're reading from the King James Version, your text says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am what? I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The King James Version is so beautiful in its language. You know, we sing a song, 10,000 Angels. Think about that song for a moment. The chorus goes, "He could have called," talking about the Lord Jesus, "He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me." Jesus proved his meekness by allowing godless men to injure and to insult him. He could have exercised his power, but he didn't. Instead, he trusted and he obeyed God. He was a courageous man who remained under control. It's been said that the depth of a man's meekness can be gauged in direct proportion to his ability to crush his adversaries. Think about Jesus. Think about the Lord here. Jesus could have crushed them all, but he didn't, because his strength was discipline and his trust was in God. 1 Peter 2:23 tells us that. 1 Peter 2:23 tells us, "When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." He's really the ultimate example of meekness. Philippians 2, 6 through 8 says, "Though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." My friends, what about us? What about us? Are we incorporating meekness into our own lives? Church, are we people who trust God? Are we people who roll our lives to him, or commit our way to him? Are we people who wait patiently for him and choose to refrain from anger? Are we characterized by those things? I hope that tonight, as we've discussed the quality of meekness, we're committed to becoming this type of person if we're not already. Here's some things to think about this week as we try to develop this quality that Jesus talks about. Meek people are people who are teachable. Psalm 25, 9 tells us he leads the humble. He leads the meek. He leads the humble in what is right. And he teaches the humble his way. And so meek people are teachable. They also allow God to lead them instead of trying to lead the way themselves. James 1, 21 instructs us to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and to receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And the meek do so because they hope and they look forward to that promise of reward. Hebrews 11:6, I love Hebrews 11:6, which tells us, and without faith it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Some of your versions say diligently seek him. Yes, most of us here tonight believe that God exists, but do we believe that God will reward us? We diligently seek him. We've already quoted it, but in Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Are we going to learn from Jesus and his example of meekness? He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Will we learn from our Lord? Are we lowly? Are we gentle in heart? And when we become meek like Jesus, my friends, if we do that, we will find rest in our souls and we will receive the reward God has promised us. That's why the meek are happy. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'd like to now extend an invitation to anyone here tonight that desires to become a Christian. The Bible tells us how to do that. The Bible tells us to become a Christian, we do that by believing in Jesus, confessing his precious name, repenting of our sin, being baptized in water as an appeal for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus himself for the purpose of washing away sins, calling on his name. If we can assist you in any kind of spiritual way, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.